just want to thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give unto you adoration. Father, we commit this time into your hand. Where we have come, O God, to partake of the table that you have prepared before us. We ask that the Holy Spirit himself take absolute control. He will speak through the speaker and hear for the hearer, that the will and the counsel of God alone might be established. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seat in his presence. And it's good to be back home. Amen. And we were actually in service through Zoom. Amen. We were in service from the beginning, prayer, all through till the service closed. And we thank God for what he's doing in the lives of our children. Amen. And so we can truly go to rest like God told us. Because when the children understand and have the fear of God, they can stand for him. They know what they believe. They are not confused. Then, by the grace of God, our job is done. Amen. Amen. If a child will write, have a write-up to do, and we write about Jesus for a professor that is an atheist, and we said, let's come what may. You see, that's like Esther. Let's come what may. You want to fail me? Go ahead and fail me. But I will tell you that you cannot rubbish my faith. That's boldness in itself. And it's wisdom. Yes, and it is wisdom, you know, because if she had gone to speak to him, and say, maybe after a class, say, oh, but you know, I believe in Jesus, blah, blah, it could be anything. But let me tell you something. That paper, you could read it over and over and over and over, and God could touch his heart. So congratulations to everybody. And to the children's teacher, we're so proud of what you're doing. Praise the Lord! It is God himself smiling upon you and rewarding you for all those hours that you put into teaching these children, into preparing for them. And you know what? Like we said this morning, it is God that we serve. Unlike our places of job, where our evaluation is made by man, God doesn't need any man to evaluate you. He sees it all, and he rewards handsomely. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I'm going to start by sharing a scenario with us. I just want you to imagine for a moment a man who walked into a coffee shop and bought himself a cup of coffee. And as he was walking to sit down, somebody bumped into him. Bow! And there goes the coffee. And my question to the church this morning is, why did he spill coffee? Why? Why did he spill coffee? I won't, don't worry, don't answer. Why did he? You know, because the natural answer that will come to each and every one of us is because somebody bumped into him. So when somebody bumped into him, he spilled coffee. But that's not the answer. He spilled coffee because coffee was in his cup. If he had tea in that cup and somebody bumped into him, what will he spill? If he had water in that cup and somebody bumped into him, what will he spill? Water. And if he had nothing in the cup and somebody bumped into him, what will he spill? Nothing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. And my question to each and every one of us here this morning, including myself, what is in your cup? And the Sunday school kind of helped us this morning for those who joined. Because many times, We blame the situation and the circumstances around us when we spill what is inside, rather than we sitting down and taking account what is in my cup. Life is meant to rattle us, to shake us. Things are meant to bump into us, and we will definitely spill out what is inside of us. I remember many years ago, our church, Jesus House, New Jersey, we were having a dinner, and they asked us to invite, you buy the ticket, but you invite your neighbors. And so I went to, we were living in an apartment then, I just went to the apartment right opposite me. As I knocked on the door, my neighbor came out. Yes? What are you looking for? What do you want? I said, good morning. Yeah, I'm asking you, what do you want? Oh, I came to invite you for a dinner. Oh. Well, you know what? What she spilled out at first, it was not aggravated. But it's what she had inside. Bitterness, anger. For what? You don't even know why I was knocking on your door. What? You say, no, I'm here. I want to invite you for dinner. It's paid for. All you have to do is come. Prepared. And this is the ticket. Praise the living Jesus. Praise the living Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm just here to remind us this morning that the heart of man is that cup. Whatever we fill our hearts with is what spills out when things happen to us, when things happen around us. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. I prefer the King James Version of the Bible. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So that is what we're saying. It is what is contained in the cup that is spilled out. Amen. So he didn't spill coffee because somebody bumped into him. He spilled coffee because coffee was what was in his cup. Matthew 12, 33 to 34. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 and 34. It says, he that make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen? And so it's no wonder when the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4:23, Proverbs chapter 4:23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen? Praise the living Jesus. How you see something? It's a function of the state of your heart. That's why somebody can see a glass of cup as half empty or half full. It's the same thing, but it's just their conception. Praise the Lord. Every man we know is a sinner. Not because he committed sin, but because we all inherited that sin nature from Adam. And like we also, Safuka said during the Sunday school, you don't call a child aside and say, I'm going to teach you how to lie. But you discover one day, you ask a question, and it's a lie. I ask my children many times, this thing that you are doing, where did you get it from? Amen. blanked out. Praise the Lord. So this thing you are doing, where did you learn it from? Because if you are to leave what you see in this house, fire should be coming out of your mouth when you open your mouth to speak. But you know, that's just natural. And why is that so? Because man is, you know, we are made up of three, elements. We have the body, we have the mind or the soul, and we have the spirit. For every man that is born into this world, the body is on the top, is in control. And so the desires of the body is what everybody, you know, that body is the Bible refers to it many times as the flesh. You know, it's your comfort. You don't want anything to ruffle you. So if the person does anything, including lying, stealing, just to satisfy this, you know, to satisfy the flesh, the body. And it's not his fault. It's just how it is. Because from the day that Adam and Eve fell in the garden, every man that is born inherited that nature. Praise the Lord. And that's why they said, even if you take a lion and you train a lion and you say you want a lion as a pet, one day, when that nature, it doesn't have to be provoked. It could just smell blood in that nature. Amen? So, natural men, all of us, do whatever it is we want to do, how we want to do it, just because of the nature. And we cannot help it. You cannot change the nature of anything. That nature must be put to death. You can't change nature. Amen? You cannot change nature. That's why for men who think they are women, down the lane, we will know. Nature cannot be changed. Praise the Lord. But when we gave our lives to Christ, there was a change. The spirit which had been relegated to the background became alive. And the flesh is expected to be relegated to the back. Unfortunately, the flesh doesn't like it. He's reigned all this while. He's been the focus all this while. Then suddenly, you say, when you have a child that is like 5 and you're going to have another one, you had better start prepping that child. You're going to have a baby. Because that child's been the attention all this while. So one baby will come. When people don't handle it very well, from that very tender age, you could have sibling rivalry. If you don't handle it well, yeah. Because this baby has been the attention of everybody in the family. Oh, you. And I tell you the truth, the moment a new baby comes, it's just everybody shift attention to that new baby. So if you have not been prepping, it's your baby, you're going to help me with the dress up, go get me the pamper, go get me this. And it's the same thing with the flesh. So when the spirit comes, it's not going to give up. It's going to struggle. You want to overthrow me? It's not possible. This is my place. And that's what the Bible meant when it says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 17. Galatians chapter 5 verse 17. The Bible says, for the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Amen. So if a man's cup is filled with the flesh, when he is bumped to, is going to produce the works of the flesh, as the Bible says, listed it out in Galatians chapter 5, same 5 from 19 to 21. When you're bumped into, If what is in your heart is the, you know, what is in control is that body. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the living Jesus. So you see, for some of us, we say, oh no, adultery, fornication. What are you talking about? That's that. The devil won't bring it your way because he knows that. But doesn't mean that you have overcome the flesh. Because then somebody step on your toe. Before the person could even have the opportunity to say sorry, you pushed. Ah, are you blind to see? I'm sorry, it was an accident. It's what is inside. It is what is inside. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. So this morning we are here in church. Like the pastor said, we go outside to preach, but in church we teach. To equip ourselves for this new life. To strengthen ourselves in this new walk wherein we have found ourselves. Because it's not natural. It's not natural. It's not natural for somebody to slap you on the right cheek and you turn the left. It's not natural. It has to take a power that is higher than the natural for you to be able to do that. And that's what God expects of you and I. And we will be able to do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the living Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, in, I'm sorry, my, all of this, it just went blank on me, but God is faithful. So, in John chapter 15, verse 4, John 15, verse 4, the Bible says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Abide in me and I in you. What God wants of each and every one of us as Christians is that Christ should abide in us. So that when we are bombed into, what comes out of us is going to be Jesus Christ. And when I say Jesus Christ, it's going to be the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? When things happen, the way we act, the things we say, reflect what is in our car. Is it he that is in me? Or did I lose him along the way during the week? Maybe immediately after service, anything that happened, I'm able to take it. But by Tuesday evening, the top up is gone down. But Jesus Christ said, abide in me and I in you. And if we are able to do this, it will not matter what comes our way. If you look at that sentence very well, the abiding in me comes before the I in you. The abiding in me. So we need to first abide in Christ. And as we do that, we will find him in us. So that whatsoever thing that may come our way that can happen, we find Christ in us. This month we are talking about mastery. Amen. So, the question then is, how am I going to abide in him so that I can have him in me at any time and every time? So that it doesn't matter what happens. Because one thing I need to let you know is that that cup is never empty. You know, we said that if somebody bumps into you and your cup is empty, you spill nothing. But in the case of our heart, it's never empty. There will always be something to spill. Amen. So how do I abide in him? I'm just going to give us 4 points and then that will be. The first thing is, you must give your life to Jesus Christ. There's no abiding in him without you consciously accepting him as your Lord and Savior. There must be that one day that you can look back to and say, today I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. John chapter 3 verse 16. John 3:16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you must believe that he is the one that God has sent here, so that our nature, that old nature, can be terminated, can be killed, and then we can inherit his own righteousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Amen. 1 John chapter 4 verses 9 to 10. We're talking about the fact that you must give your life to Christ. It's the beginning of it. It's the foundation for you to abide in him. The Bible says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Here is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Amen. Amen. So Jesus, accepting Jesus Christ, creates that way, brings us back even unto God. And the second thing is, you must give yourself to the study of the word. So it's not enough what we hear here in church on Sunday. It's not enough what we hear on Wednesdays. Some of us, all day we play messages and messages and messages. What time do you create for that person? You know, it's everything you have to receive doesn't have to come from somebody else. Because what I'm saying here is my own understanding of the scriptures. But when you go to study, then the Holy Spirit will expound this Bible to you and give you the understanding. You know, it'll be revelation beyond what that person is telling you. Praise the living Jesus. I do that a lot, both with my morning devotion with my husband or the messages that we hear in church. I go back, I put the Bible beside me, and I'm checking to see everything that is being said, so that I'm not just swallowing in because it looks lofty. Because in that lofty could be a little bit of poison. And you don't need too much of it. It's just a little bit. So you need that time for you to go back. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. Let him minister to you. What in this part of the scriptures is mine. It's mine that I have to work with. Praise the Lord. And the third thing I have here says that you give yourself to prayers. Why? Because that's where we receive the grace and the power to walk in whatever it is. One thing I have discovered about Christianity is the fact that if you make up your mind, I'm not going to say anything. I bet you. Everything that we are walk around at that time will provoke you unto say something. Even if you keep quiet for 5 minutes, I tell myself, I'm not going to say anything. The devil, I think it was Saeed that said, he doesn't rest. In another 2 minutes, we throw something else. If we throw something else, it takes the grace and the power of God. So that you see somebody was telling me over the week, oh, he's talking for over 1 hour. I was quiet. Huh? I went away. He came back to meet me where I was sitting. And he kept talking. And I only said one thing. One thing. And now he couldn't take it. So what happened to the 1 hour of silence? The devil rubbished it. That's what happened. The devil just rubbished that 1 hour silence. He said, I just want one thing. And everything he's been saying since, when he started, I was in the room. I was saying, Jesus, help me. Jesus. to God alone be all the glory. And that's why we need prayers. That's where we receive strength. That's where we receive grace to do that which we have received from the world. Praise the Lord. And lastly, we must exercise ourselves unto righteousness. James chapter 1 verse 22. James chapter 1 verse 22. The Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So the reason God sent us the word, the reason he gave us the spirit, the reason he asked us to pray, is that we might be doers of the word. And it is in doing that we spill out. It is in doing the word of God. It's not what I resolve to do, but what by the Holy Spirit, the word of God instructs me to do. And I have received power from God to walk in it. And you know, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, where we're talking about for this month, it talks about the athletes. I remember my son Tenny. If he's going for practice, that day I looked at him and I told myself, I need to do more with my Christian life. I think it was like 9, 10, 11, 12. And we were going to Six Flags. And my son had practice as a footballer. And he said, no. We left him because he had the ship. Yeah, he didn't go. He said, no, I have practice. They deny themselves. The coach don't have to be there. For a long time, he doesn't drink anything but Gatorade. I think that's what they call it. Whether we are having party in the house, whether we're doing anything. The coach wasn't in the house with us. But he trained his body because he knows when he gets back on the field, he has to be agile, he has to be ready, he has to do whatever that they have him to do. I used to play sports. I don't look like a sport person, right? And if I tell you my sport, you will be amazed. I used to play judo. And I played for the University of Ibadan. Yeah? And I got them a medal before I left. And I remember, praise the Lord. And I remember that year, because when you play judo, we play by weight. You know, it's weight category. And when we got there, maybe I relaxed and over eight, I don't know, whatever. But when we went weighing, I was like 2 pounds above. And I know I can't fight like that, because if somebody by the height of that bracket is paired with me, I'm already at disadvantage. I had to start punching. I have to do everything to make sure I come back to my weight category. So they don't, because once they take your weight, they put your name in that category for competition. That's it. That's what you weigh. I had to go back. Do we check our lives like that? And check to see what it is we need to cut off? What it is we need to do better? So that when life bumps at us, what we spill out is Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus Christ being manifest by the fruit of the Spirit. And as I was studying, one thing that the Holy Spirit also taught me is that, you see, those fruit, they bear more fruit. You know, if somebody was expecting a reaction from you, but because of what you read in the Bible, you gave another reaction. Do you know the person can be won to Christ without you preaching? You just watch you and wonder, what's wrong? What's different about this person? I like the spirit around her. I just like the way she conducts. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit does. Not only are you bearing the fruit, that fruit itself will bear more fruit, even to the glory of God. As itself may abide in us. Thank you, our Father. We commit this new week into your hand, O Lord God Almighty. We ask that you go ahead of us in Jesus' name. Father, you will keep our going out and our coming in. Father, you will not allow any evil to befall any of us in Jesus' name. King of glory, Lord of us, the only news we will share among ourselves will be news of joy and rejoicing in the name of Jesus. Thank you for all of our brethren that went to South Jersey today, even to celebrate the 10th year anniversary of Mommy B. Father, we thank you for the life that she lived. We thank you, O Lord God Almighty, for it was short, but very impactful. Lord God Almighty, this is our prayer, that when we too we finish our race here on earth, may it be said of us that we did our best. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let's share the grace in fellowship. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy are following us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.